From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is The Local Edition. I'm Kimberly Izar, and I'll be filling in for tonight's show. Thanks for being here with me. I hope everyone stayed safe and warm during yesterday's winter storm. Big thanks to all of the snowplowers and folks who keep our roads safe. Coming up, three candidates, one competitive district, and a lot at stake. Isabel Braverman from the Sullivan County Democrat explains what's happening in the New York's 51st District Senate race. And today is the first Wednesday of the month, December 3rd, and that's when we drop new episodes of Health on the Margins. It's Radio Catskill's investigative podcast series on fragile healthcare systems in our region. And today we have our next episode on declining women's healthcare services. But first, let's check in with our partners at the Sullivan County Democrat. The race for New York's 51st state Senate seat is already heating up as we look ahead to 2026. Three candidates have stepped forward so far for the district that stretches across multiple counties. The Sullivan County Democrat has been following the early moves in this race, outlining who's running, what's at stake, and how the shifting political landscape could shape the outcome. Tim Bruno spoke with Sullivan County Democrat Editor-in-Chief Isabel Braverman on Radio Chatskill earlier today.
Isabel, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, let's remind folks about New York's 51st state Senate seat. That's a big district, the counties it covers, and why the seat's open.
Yeah, so it is a big district. It includes all of Sullivan County. So, of course, it's a big deal for us here in the county. It also covers Delaware, Schoharie, which I've never said that word out loud before, so I'm not sure if I pronounced that right.
I think you did.
Okay. Schoharie and Otsego counties, as well as parts of Broome, Shenango, and Ulster counties. So, like you said, it's quite a large district. We are currently represented by State Senator Peter Oberacker, a Republican who has been in his seat for, I believe, three terms now. But he is not seeking re-election next year because he is throwing his hat in the ring to become congressman for the 19th district.
And that's currently held by Josh Riley. That is also in our listening area, another competitive race at the federal national level. But let's focus here on the state level, this 51st district. Because Oberacker is not seeking re-election, it's wide open. And now there are three people running to become the next state senator for the 51st district. Who's the latest to announce and who are the other folks that are already saying that they're intending to run?
So the latest to announce is Chris Tague. He is an assemblyman from Schoharie. Again, hope I'm saying that right.
Your favorite place, yes.
Yeah, my favorite place now. he's a Republican assemblyman, and he just announced his campaign just a few days ago. But it looks like he'll have some competition from another Republican, Terry Bernardo, who is a legislator on the Sullivan County Legislature. She's also a previous Ulster County legislator and business owner. She owned Skate Time in Accord, New York. So those two, we may likely see a primary, but that's not set in stone yet because it's all about who can get enough petitions to be on the ballot. And then there is a Democrat in the race, Michelle Frazier. She announced she was running back in August. She is a former politician and is from, I believe, Ulster County.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, so former Oneonta City Council member, actually Delaware, I believe. She's there up in Delhi.
Okay. Yes.
So let's talk about each of these candidates. Now, I want to go back to Frazier, who was the first to announce. What is she saying in terms of like her campaign, why she's throwing her hat in the ring here for this? She's run before in other areas, and I believe she lost in this race before. What is it that she's looking to do now?
Right. So she ran in the last time this election was held for state Senate, losing to Peter Oberacker. So she really, she wants to come back and put forth her ideas again. She's really focusing on affordability, specifically, you know, for parents and families. She mentions affordable childcare, affordable housing, and access to healthcare in rural communities.
And then also the two Republicans, as you said, they're probably looking at a primary there. What was Schoharie Assemblyman Chris Tigg saying when he announced? What's he focused on?
You know, he's also focused on affordability. He really pointed that out in his announcement, sort of blaming Albany for some of the higher prices that we're seeing now, such as energy bills. So that is something that he wants to work on if he makes it in, you know, to Albany to work on those high costs.
His announcement included endorsements from multiple folks, but interestingly enough, the Sullivan County Republican Committee was not on that list. Why not?
Yeah, so I reached out to Rob Doherty, who's the chairman of the Republican Committee. He said that they haven't endorsed anyone at this time, because they will choose their endorsement based on how members of the committee vote. They have their convention in early January, and they do a weighted vote among the members of who they should throw their support behind. But, you know, Terry Bernardo is a Sullivan County resident, and I know she is part of the Republican committee, but they have not endorsed her yet.
Yeah, and it's interesting, again, because we talk about the breadth of this district and then also where folks are currently serving. Tigg was first elected to the New York State Assembly District 102, and that consists of all of Greene, Schoharie, along with parts of Delaware, Albany, Otsego, and Ulster. So you've got all these overlapping areas and overlapping interests. So it'll be interesting to see who endorses whom and who comes out for whom.
You can check out the full interview between Tim and Isabel on our website at wjffradio.org. We'll take a short break, but when we come back, we premiere our new episode of Health on the Margins about declining women's healthcare services in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
There have been 21 boat strikes. 83 people have been killed. And if it's not an armed conflict, even if Trump says he's determined that it is one, then all 83 of those killings were arguably just murder.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Hey, it's Jason Dole letting you know how you can help nourish our neighbors. More families are struggling to put food on the table. Local food pantries are stepping up, but they need help. You can donate non-perishable food, personal care items, or baby supplies, or volunteer to assist with distribution. It can make a real difference. Learn more at WJFFradio.org to help make sure everyone in our community has enough to eat. Radio Catskill, keeping our neighbors connected.
You're listening to The Local Edition. I'm Kimberly Izar. Now on to our feature story for this evening. We hear about declining women's health services on Health on the Margins. It's Radio Catskill's investigative podcast examining our region's fragile healthcare systems. In 2020, the only Planned Parenthood in Sullivan County closed. The next nearest Planned Parenthood clinic in Goshen closed 4 years later, along with three other upstate locations. Healthcare providers worry that under President Trump's changes to Medicaid eligibility, women's health services will grow even farther away. Here's episode 3 of Health on the Margins.
Awesome.
Down Lakewood Avenue in Monticello is a small brick-walled building with the words Women's Health printed on the door.
Can you guys open, please?
The building is Sun River Health's Women's Health Clinic in Sullivan County, where Giselle Posada shows me one of four examination rooms inside the clinic.
It has an exam room, supplies, And yeah, just as a scale. But yeah, everything that we need, it's here. Anybody that needs lab, they will go upstairs for lab work.
Posada is operations manager at the Monticello location, which serves at least 150 patients a day. And they're one of only two health providers in all of Sullivan County with OBGYN doctors.
So we have two MDs, one midwife and one nurse practitioner.
But sometimes there simply aren't enough providers to care for patients. VP of Operations Sherry Wyckoff says their doctors are often pulled away to other hospitals within their network due to regional staffing shortages.
It limits what services we can offer here on a particular day, depending on the need. But of course, we want to take care of those patients that are in the hospital or if they need an assist to go help.
That means patients may have to delay or not schedule their screenings at all for cervical or breast cancer, or if they're experiencing sudden or chronic pelvic, thigh, or back pain. What equipment is available at the clinic is also limited.
And if someone needed like a sonogram, for example, or anything like that, is this upstairs, down here?
No, we refer them to the hospital.
Okay.
Depends on what the provider can do here. When it comes to women's health, I mean, really everything has to be referred out.
And with President Trump's Medicaid changes, Sun River Health's OBGYN Dr. Petrina Philip King says the cuts will leave many rural residents in dire circumstances.
We'll see an increased rate of unplanned pregnancies. We may have people walking around with undiagnosed and untreated STIs, and we know that just pass on and keep passing on in the community. Patients not taking their medication as they should be taken, also very concerning to us. It's going to add more to our health system, more to the cost of delivering care.
From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Health on the Margins, a series that looks at the Catskills in Northeast Pennsylvania's fragile healthcare deserts. Over the past few decades, the number of healthcare providers has declined. Community hospitals have closed, and access to what is available is getting further and further from home. Health on the Margins digs into how we got here and where our rural region may head next. This is episode 3 of our series, and today we're looking at women's health services. I'm Kimberly Izar. If you haven't listened to the first two episodes of the series, I really recommend that you start there. We cover opioid settlement funds to how Sullivan County is doing when it comes to the opioid crisis. You can find those episodes of Health on the Margins on our website at wjffradio.org. In the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania, where you can access women's healthcare services is declining. In 2020, the only Planned Parenthood in Sullivan County closed. The next nearest Planned Parenthood clinic in Goshen closed 4 years later, along with 3 other upstate locations. In 2022, Garnet Health said they would stop providing routine OBGYN and other healthcare services in Monticello, Harris, and Middletown. Here's a clip from News 12's Blaise Gomez on the cuts.
Patients are reaching out anonymously after I posted about the cuts impacting services in Orange and Sullivan counties on my Facebook page. Routine OBGYN, rheumatology, and pediatric care will no longer be offered. This patient we spoke to is 39 weeks pregnant and due to deliver any day.
What was your initial reaction?
I was really upset. You've built a relationship with these doctors, and it's like now I have to go find somebody else.
15 years ago, Sun River Health started providing women's health services in Sullivan County. And it's something COO Allison Dubois says she's really proud of.
We actually started our Monticello Health Center on a mobile medical van in the Monticello community, co-located actually at the homeless shelter. And we grew from there into the practice that we have now.
Sun River Health is the only Title X clinic in all of Sullivan County. These are federally funded clinics offering family planning services for patients who are low income or uninsured. Services like testing for infertility, checking for an HIV or syphilis infection, and prescribing birth control. But Sun River Health is closed on the weekends due to limited clinicians, meaning patients who may work Monday to Friday may have trouble scheduling an urgent appointment.
because there is limited availability of clinicians in this region, it's challenging to maintain full scope and to be able to cover all of the operating hours and the call hours. So that puts additional financial strain, you know, on practices.
Du Bois says even fewer people will have access to care under Trump's changes to Medicaid, which includes new work requirements for Medicaid eligibility.
We anticipate that potentially 20,000 patients may lose coverage because of the changes that have been proposed. So we do try to provide as much support as we can to help them maintain coverage, but we're quite concerned that increasing the frequency of determination and the documentation requirements around work will have an impact on the number of patients who can maintain that coverage uninterrupted. And so folks, when they know that their coverage has lapsed, they often don't seek the services as timely as they might have when their coverage was full and in place. And so, you know, we're worried about the potential impact on patients. We're certainly worried about the potential impact organizationally that patients who historically had coverage, we will now be providing care for without insurance reimbursement. And that will have, you know, certainly a negative impact on our operating budget and on our ability to continue to provide everything that we're committed to providing.
This is on top of ongoing challenges rural health providers have long struggled with, like access to transportation and recruiting providers, says Dr. Philip King.
In our prenatal patients, for instance, endocrinology, that is lacking in the county. So patients will have to go out of county to get a lot of these specialty services, right?
Endocrinologists specialize in the endocrine system, or the glands that produce hormones. That means people may have to travel further from home to treat thyroid diseases during pregnancy, or polycystic ovary syndrome, or PCOS. Du Bois also says Sun River Health doesn't have enough dentists.
We've really struggled in the oral health space. So not having a dentist, there's tremendous oral health needs for pregnant women. One of the interesting things is, you know, pregnancy often ensures coverage, you know, for a brief period of time. And so it's a chance to provide oral health care to the mom and to support her health in a long-term way.
More than 100 rural hospitals across the country have closed their labor and delivery units since 2020, according to a study from the Center for Healthcare Quality and Payment Reform. Healthcare advocate Lois Utley says hospital consolidation is one aspect that contributed to the loss of women's health services. Some of those consolidations involve mergers among Catholic-run healthcare facilities.
Four of the 10 largest health systems in the nation now are Catholic, including Trinity, which, according to the latest data I've seen, operates 93 hospitals across the nation.
Catholic-affiliated hospitals are often governed differently by what's called ethical and religious directives for Catholic healthcare services.
These are issued by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, and they ban the provision of abortion, contraception, sterilizations, and common reproductive technologies like IVF, for example. About 10 hospitals have closed their maternity units over the last decade in New York. And in many rural counties like Columbia, Franklin, Lewis, Ontario, Otsego, Wyoming, St. Lawrence counties, those are all fairly rural counties. When a maternity unit closes, it means that pregnant women then have to find someplace else to give birth. And often that is a long drive away.
According to a study from health advocacy nonprofit March of Dimes, in Sullivan, Orange, and Ulster counties in New York, and in Wayne County in Pennsylvania, the average person travels anywhere between 11 to 15 miles to reach their closest birthing hospital. That's twice the state average. In Delaware County, New York, the average person travels more than 41 miles to reach the closest birthing hospital. Coming up,
it's not becoming any easier to provide rural health services.
In the face of federal healthcare cuts, who's responsible for stepping in? We chat with healthcare advocates to philanthropists on solutions to keep reproductive healthcare accessible. Stay with us.
I'm Jason Tuga, host of The Mixtape. I play classics you love, deep cuts, and brand new music. Friday nights at 7, only on Radio Catskill.
I'm Sabrina Artel. Join me for conversations with all kinds of people in the studio, on the street, and the kitchen table of my vintage travel trailer. That's Trailer Talk, Monday night at 7:30 on Radio Catskill.
Hi, this is Steve Inskeep with NPR News. Thanks for sticking with us.
It's Layla Faldin. Thank you for having our back.
It's A. Martinez. Thank you for staying informed with us.
It's Michelle Martin. Thank you for trusting us.
Thank you for supporting this station.
Thank you for supporting this station.
Thank you for supporting this station.
We'll get through this together.
Support Radio Catskill at WJFFradio.org. Thanks.
We're back with Health on the Margins. I'm Kimberly Izar. If you're just joining us, we've been looking at declining women's health care services in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. And we're about to look at a few different ways people are tackling this issue. One of them is combating hospital consolidation, says healthcare advocate Lois Utley.
Health systems may come to own 10 or more hospitals across the geographic region, and executives of the health system sitting in their ivory tower will look down and say, wow, we have 6 maternity units. Maybe we don't need 6. Let's close 2 of them and direct the patients to go to one of the remaining maternity units. It's a very common tactic across the nation. And unfortunately, then forces, in this case, pregnant people, to have to travel long distances to give birth.
Utley has pushed back firsthand against hospital closures. In 2023, St. Peter's Health Partners announced they were planning to close the Burdett Birth Center in Troy, New York.
This alarmed many of the midwives and moms in the Troy community. They got together and formed the Save Burdett Birth Center Coalition. And through incredible organizing and use of a new health equity impact assessment law that the state had enacted, managed to save their Burdett Birth Center.
The county was able to secure a $5 million grant to keep Burdett Birthing Center open.
And in fact, the number of births at the center has increased to over 1,000 a year. But this is an example, though, of what can happen in hospital consolidation.
Utley and other health advocates have been pushing for a state bill called the Local Input for Community Healthcare Act. The legislation would require hospitals to hold public hearings so residents can comment on how their healthcare would be affected.
It's local people who would best be able to say, how could the closure of a hospital be mitigated in some way? Where could they go? How could they get there? How can they be sure their insurance would be accepted at the nearest hospital? There are so many different obstacles that would have to be overcome. It is particularly concerned about what the impact of a hospital change would be on rural residents, older adults, so like frail elderly people, women, people who are on public insurance like Medicaid or Medicare, people with disabilities. Now, the very people who would have the hardest time finding another place to go if their hospital closed.
And where is the bill now?
It has passed the legislature again this year, and it is waiting to be sent to Governor Hochul. Last year, Governor Hochul vetoed the bill, but said she would direct the Department of Health to revise the process by which hospital closures are reviewed. So we are urging Governor Hochul to sign the local input for community health care bill before the end of this year. And finally, give consumers a say.
Ali Foti is the program officer at the New York Health Foundation. She says one solution the foundation has invested in is primary care, a strategy proven to save costs and deliver better healthcare outcomes.
New York State Department of Health just came out with its maternal morbidity and mortality report and saw still staggering numbers of death and life-threatening complications in maternal health. And yet so many of them are preventable. And one in five of the deaths that they reported on in their most recent report were attributed to gaps in follow-up care. And so we've been supporting partners to think about what it's like to bolster the primary care infrastructure to be able to support women and birthing people before pregnancy, during pregnancy, and after pregnancy, such that they have a trusting relationship with their primary care provider, can raise complications before they become life-threatening, can address everything from chronic diseases to mental health considerations.
But with Trump's Medicaid cuts set in motion, Foti says it limits what is possible for the grantee partners. For instance, one partner in Delaware County the foundation has been working on to open a primary care hub has had to hit pause.
Open Door Family Medical Center had to revisit these plans for expansion in the face of the many financial threats that they were contending with, as every other community health center is currently doing. And so it's just one example of progress being thwarted by federal policy changes.
Foti says the foundation is still weighing whether to increase investment in their grant making. Back at Sun River Health, Allison DuBois says they've increased telehealth services and other solutions to improve rural healthcare. That's made it easier for many more patients to get care. But she says those services only work when the right infrastructure and investments are in place. And right now, that baseline is at risk.
If and as, you know, public health dollars are cut, Medicaid dollars are cut, we're all facing multiple reductions in the resources that are needed. And it's not becoming any easier to provide rural health services. The population changes are impactful, but there are still so many members of our community in Sullivan County who are in need of services. Those creative solutions like telehealth, I think, are a part of helping to make sure that services are available. So, I think it's a lot to worry about, but I think also in that space, there's a real commitment to partnership and innovation. But that doesn't negate the need to ensure that there are, appropriate resources to support what we're doing.
Next time on Health on the Margins, Radio Catskill's Patricio Arbayo takes a closer look at senior care. In Sullivan County, where more than a third of households include someone 65 years or older, some older adults say that the very institutions meant to care for them has left them neglected and forgotten. That's next time on Health on the Margins. Health on the Margins is hosted, reported, and produced by me, Kimberly Izar, with contributed reporting by Julia Kim and Patricio Arbayo. Editorial support by Tim Bruno, Jason Dole, Ronald Kelson, and Patricio Arbayo. The music in this episode is from Lexin Music from Pixabay. Thank you to everyone we spoke to for the show. If you enjoyed this show, let us know by leaving us a comment wherever you get your podcasts. That's our most recent episode of Health on the Margins. You can listen to the other episodes we've done on our website at wjffradio.org. Just head on over to the Shows tab, hit Podcast, and then find Health on the Margins. That's all I have for you this evening. Stay warm and stay safe on the roads. You've been listening to The Local Edition here on Radio Catskill. Have a great night, y'all.
Radio Catskill supporters include the Sterling Business and Technology Park, located at Exit 17 on Interstate 84 in Northeast Pennsylvania, offering opportunities to locate or expand businesses on property zoned for manufacturing and other uses. More information at sterlingbusinesspark.com. And listeners like you who donate at WJFF